it's great actually to have those testimonies, because some weeks we come and go and we don't actually always have time to give people opportunity. And one of the important things about this church is that people, we believe that it's important that people are able to express what God is doing in their lives, and to talk about some of those faith things, answers to prayer, and prophetically what God is saying to them. And it's fantastic. I just rejoice every time I hear one person talk about the things that God's done for them, because that actually builds us all up together as a body, doesn't it? Amen. It's very, very important. And I'd like us to turn, and I'll keep it brief this morning. I appreciate we've got a lunch. But lunch is laid on for you, so that means I can preach longer, doesn't it? I can't even remember what the title was now. What was the title, Sam? Pardon? That's it. Grace for Purpose. That's it. Grace for Purpose. I knew it was Grace for something. Grace for Purpose. And if you like to turn in your Bibles, I'm on a wing now. Isaiah chapter 42. You know, right through this meeting this morning, God's been saying to me, together, that we're a church who needs to be together, a church that needs to keep together, and that we're a together people. And in your thinking, this is going to be increasingly important as we go into come to the end of this year, going into next year, that we are thinking in terms of together, not isolated thinking, but in everything, as we've heard from a number of very good testimonies this morning, that the way to succeed is to see ourselves not just in isolation, being who we are in Christ. Fantastic. Hearing that testimony that Tamara gave about Christ living in me. You know, the key to living the dead life is to know the living one living in you. It's knowing that Christ is alive in you. Amen. And but it's going to be increasingly important that we really know how to depend upon one another, and that we see ourselves together. I don't see myself as just being me and what I do. I see myself as being part of a body that I can't properly function without the other members of the body, which is you. And you can't function properly without the other members of the body around you. Just have a look around you this morning. Just look at those handsome and gorgeous people, look, around you this morning. And this is only just some of them in the church, right? We're part of a body. And if you neglect other members of the church, of the body, and just live your life for God, that's good on one level. But if you forget the other members of the body, then you're doing a disservice to the body. And this is making sense. And the Lord is saying today, this is going to be important, that when you pray for the church and when you pray for your own life, never see yourself as being something separate from the body of Christ. God wants us to be walking together in love. The early church was a church that was really together. The Holy Spirit enabled the church to come together in that spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in unity and in purpose. And I strongly believe, I know that the Lord is calling us to such a purpose. And you know, when we're together, we're talking about unity now, we're talking about the unity of the Spirit, the unity of His love. When that's actually apparent, when it's a real thing between us in the church, nothing will be impossible.
Amen.
Nothing will be impossible. Amen. You know that the greatest thing that hinders the church is disunity, or a lack of being together, which is what disunity is. And so what we need to do is we need to, in everything that we do in our prayer life, in relating to one another, in what we do in the church, in what God's called us to do as individuals, is work for this purpose, work for the building up of the whole body, so that we can move forward in that unity of the Spirit. That's why there was such an incredible blessing on the early church, is because they were moving together. They didn't see themselves in isolation. They saw themselves as part of the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ being our head, being the head. And if we can catch, like we were hearing earlier, if we catch a revelation of that, it'll set us free, because I can't do it all and neither can you, but together we can achieve God's miracle purposes. Together we can see God do the things that He's promised, things that are beyond us, things that we can't even ask or imagine. That's the kind of God that we're serving, isn't it? And he's reminding us this morning, be together in what you do. Now, which is why we're having a together lunch today over at Crawley Down. Now, Isaiah chapter 42. Can you just turn there? And I'm going to read from verse 5. And this week, we've had a couple of, well, in fact, all the prayer meetings that I've been aware of this week have been very key prayer meetings. They've been key because they've carried the prophetic word, scriptures and prophetic utterances in all of the prayer, at least three I can think of, where God really was speaking very powerful things. And let's just look here at verse 5. Because it relates to this scripture. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. So you're called. Amen.
Amen.
Speak to me. You're called.
Amen.
You're called. And the Lord's called you in righteousness. And he says, and I will hold your hand. Hold your hand.
Hallelujah.
That's been close. He's made a promise. I will hold your hand. That means that we need to hold tight to his hand. Don't we?
Yes, we do.
We need to hold tight to his hand. It's a relationship. And he says here, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. I will keep you, that's another promise, and give you, that's another thing, as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I know a few people just got to go now because they've got to go and warm up the hall and get things going there. So that's fine. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. I just want to say just for a few minutes, the Lord wants to give you, keep you, and give you as a covenant to unsaved people around you.
Amen.
We're a covenant people. We should be expressing the covenant of God's love in our relationships to one another right the way through our week. But, you know, one of the things that God is saying here in this scripture is he's saying, I will keep you and I will give you as a covenant to the people. That literally means that God wants to make the covenant that's real, that Jesus died on the cross for you, he rose again from the dead, that covenant that he's made for you, he wants you to express that love covenant to unsaved people around you. And in fact, what Rose was testifying this morning, what God had done through her in the workplace, that's being a covenant to the people. That's demonstrating the love and the grace of God through your life in an ordinary, everyday situation. What Rachel was talking about this morning, about working, caring for the disabled, ministering the love of God, that's being a covenant to the people. It's a great example. And God says, the Lord says to us this morning, I will keep you and I will give you as a covenant to the people. This is making sense. How else will they know who Jesus is if people can't see the living Jesus Christ in our lives? How will they know if we can't pray for them to be healed? How will they know if we can't actually articulate, even in very simple language, Jesus is alive and he loves you? How will people know unless we actually demonstrate through love, real love in our hearts, for people that don't know him? And so the Lord is encouraging us today, and as we're about to enter into a new year, he's saying, listen, together, as a church together, I have given you to be a covenant to the people. It's great, isn't it, to walk into the office or to walk into the workplace, to walk into that place where you serve God, perhaps in a school as a teacher like Bob does, or whatever walk of life we have. You know, you're not just doing a job of work. You are there representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in fact, God has placed you there so that you will be a covenant to the people. That means you have a spiritual responsibility for the people that you're working with. You have a spiritual responsibility for your neighbours. You have a spiritual responsibility for the people that you rub shoulders with in the course of your life. God says that he has given you to be a covenant to the people. That means responsibility to pray for them, to love them, and to demonstrate the kingdom of God into their lives so that they have an opportunity to know who Jesus Christ is and get saved, come to know him. What a fantastic thing, eh? And we need to begin to let God change our mindset, change the way that we think, and start having a kingdom mindset, not a church mindset, a kingdom mindset that's bigger than the church, a kingdom mindset where we begin to see everything from his kingdom perspective. So your workplace is an opportunity for God's kingdom to go in there, isn't it? When you go to work or school or college or university or being a housewife or whatever you do, in the course of your day, your full-time work, if you like, it's all for the Lord. And as we heard this morning about giving, you know, our money belongs to God as well. Everything comes under that rule of the kingdom, but God wants you to be a covenant to the people. And so in a couple of prayer meetings this week, both over at East Grinstead and here in Crawley, we all took a step forward and we said, Lord, I give myself to be a covenant to the people that I rub shoulders with. I want you to use me in a new way, Lord, that you give me as a covenant to the people around me so that I can be more effective in reaching people for Jesus, that they might be born again. Is this making sense? Make sense?
Yes.
And this is what God's calling us to. And he says, and this is the purpose, that we'll be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the unsaved, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison. Talking about people who are bound up. God's given us all the answers. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
That's the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. And we're here to be a light to those that don't know him and to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Let me tell you, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to remind you, every day you're rubbing shoulders, you're meeting people that are bound up. They're bound up in their own sins, they're bound up with their own needs, they're bound up with their own depression, perhaps they're grieving, perhaps they're sick, they have got no answers, but you have. So what are you doing with your answer? What are you doing about the covenant that God made for you and has saved you? What are you doing with your covenant? Because he said, the Lord says, I'm holding your hand, I'm walking with you, I will keep you, and I'm giving you as a covenant to the people around you, to be a light to them, to open blind eyes, literally to open eyes, that people can begin to see who Jesus Christ is. Maybe to open their, perhaps physically blind, to pray for their healing, to see their eyes open, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and those who are in darkness, to bring them out of their prison house. What an awesome responsibility we have. And we spend, if you think in terms of how much time we spend together as a church, we actually spend as a whole body like this a couple of hours a week, don't we? Like this. And then we have other opportunities in the week when we meet in smaller groups that represent the church in some way or other. But you know, the majority of your time, you're out there. You're out there somewhere. And God says the reason you're out there, the reason that you spend more time out there is because I've made you to be a covenant, to represent the covenant-keeping God, to represent Jesus Christ so that people can be saved. And I believe God's going to release to us tremendous faith in these coming weeks and months ahead. God is releasing tremendous faith that we're going to see many people come to the Lord in this season because we're crossing over. And it's the presence of the Lord that will do it. You won't have to try harder. It won't be like that. It's the presence of the Lord, the peace that the Lord brings, the glory that he brings, will enable this to happen as we are at a crossing over point. As we're crossing over to the other side, there's some miracles about to happen. There's some people about to get healed.
Yeah.
There's some people about to get wonderfully saved. And we've seen some first fruits, even recently seen some wonderful first fruits, which probably not everyone knows about, but you've probably seen some first fruits as well. But God says there's a harvest field waiting, ready to be reaped into this new year. And he says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. My glory I will not give to another. So it's all about the glory of Jesus. It's about him being glorified. It's his presence. And then look at verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard God speak to that over many months now, but it's almost got concentrated these last few weeks, where the Lord's saying, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Leave those things behind you. Even the good things, forget those former things. Have a new focus, because new things I declare. God is declaring, and there's new things that he's about to do. There's a new thing that he's doing with us as a church. There's a new thing that he's taken us into. So he says, behold, the former things have come to pass. It's a crossover moment. It's a crossover time. It's a crossing over season to go to the other side, where God is going to release these supernatural works of his kingdom. And he says, new things I declare for you in your personal life, in your personal relationship with God, where you can hear him speak to you. If you're struggling, I know some of you in the church are struggling hearing from God. Listen, God can speak to you very easily if you'll listen. The issue is our ability to listen, learning how to listen to him, learning how to activate our faith and expect him to speak to you, and he will. He speaks very simply. Just as you're listening to me now, it's not hard to hear me, is it? You can hear me. And in the same way, when you spend time with God with an expectation, God, I need answers here. I can't do anything without you. Please give me answers. Show me. Speak to me, Lord. What are you saying to me today, Lord? What are you saying to us today? And as you listen, God will speak to you. You're going to find it very easy to hear the voice of the Lord in this season, because we're crossing over. And new things, the Lord says, new things I declare to you. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Wow. I just wrote down just a couple of sentences that summed up a few things the Lord was speaking to me about when I was praying last night. He said, you are at the brink of new things. You are crossing over the threshold of a new season and new territory. You have not passed this way before. We had that in the scripture last week. This is a new place that God is taking us to. So whatever your experiences of the Lord, whatever your Christian experiences, whatever your experiences of in the church, God says, is saying to us, you haven't passed this way before. It's not going to be the same. There's something God is doing that's going to change everything about you and me and us as a people. There's something that God is doing, and we have not passed this way before. Be open to all I'm going to do. I've heard that this week in my ear. I've heard the Lord say to me about half a dozen times, be open, Paul, be open. Be open to all I want to do. Be open to what I want to do. Which probably means I'm not. Probably means I'm not as open as I need to be. And Lord's saying to us this morning, be open to all I want to do in you. To all I want to do in this church. Do not limit me in your restricted thinking. Don't limit God by your old patterns of thinking. That's why God's saying, forget the former things, get into the Word of God, get into prayer, listen to the Spirit and hear what God says, because he's saying, don't limit me by your restricted thinking, limited thinking. Get my thoughts, get my plans, get my Word, and obey my Spirit. Activate your faith. That's what the Lord is saying to us as a people. Get my thoughts, get my plans, get my word, and obey my Spirit. Activate your faith. Wow. And the Lord, you know, the Lord is saying to us, and was saying to us in a prayer meeting this week, one of the prayer meetings, he was saying he was saying this is a time to really seek him at this period of time, because of what he wants to release for us to hear from heaven, for us to hear from him. This is a time to really listen to his voice, to spend time in God's word and to hear what he's saying. Because when we spend time in prayer, when we wait upon the Lord, and this is all part of that, of this crossing over time that we're entering into as a church, as we cross over, what God is saying, he's saying, when you receive, when you listen to my voice, when you hear my word, what I am speaking to you, it's then that you can receive my presence. It's then that you can receive the power to do what I'm asking you to do. This is why it's so important that we spend time in the presence of God. It's why it's important that we spend time saturating in his presence, listening to him, listening to his voice, delighting ourselves in the Lord. Because in that time, during that period of, and over these coming days and weeks ahead, as God imparts to you his voice, his word to you, and as you receive his word, you'll understand that you're not just receiving words from God, but he wants to impart his presence. He wants to impart his power to do the next thing that he's going to be asking for us to do as a church in this next year. Does that make sense? Amen. And I want to encourage you this morning that the former things have come to pass, but new things, the Lord is declaring new things I will declare to you. God's opening up for us as a church. He's opening up doors for us to go through. Doors into some sheltered accommodation places where the elderly live. He's opening up a new door for young people in Crawley, where called the foyer. There's an open door for us. We're beginning to go through that door now to reach young people for Christ in this place, which is run by a charity. It's not a Christian charity. And there's other doors that God is opening up for us as a church that he's wanting us to go through in this season. And I just urge you and encourage you as we bring this meeting to a close. God gives us grace for his purpose. And what he's promised to do, which in practical terms means people being saved, people being born again, people being discipled, people's lives being changed, seeing miracles and healings, seeing the miracle power of God at work. That's what God has promised for us. And he wants us all to have a fresh encounter with him where we're receiving his presence and his power to do his work. Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? Just begin to thank him this morning. Just begin to thank him this morning that what he has promised in Kingdom Faith he will do, because the whole of Kingdom Faith is actually at a crossover time where we know we're entering into a new season of God's blessing, actually. It's of God's blessing and of his power. And I want to encourage you this morning that the Lord is going to enable you to hear his voice. So just lay your hands on your ears this morning, if you can still hear me. Just put your hands upon your ears. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do this as an act of faith this morning, but Lord, we ask that you will open every ear here. I pray, Lord, that you'll remove all restricted thinking, all unbelief, Lord, all restrictions, all negativity, Lord. We pray, Father, you'll begin to undo and destroy and remove those strongholds of wrong thinking, Lord, that hinder us, those doubts, Lord. And Father, we pray this morning that you'll open our ears to hear your voice in a new way, in a greater way, Father, more than ever before. That Father, as we read your word and as we pray, Lord, we'll hear you speaking to us clearly, Lord, that we hear your voice. We hear you speaking into our hearts, Lord, that we know what you're saying to us at a personal level, Lord, in our families, Father, in the church, in the workplace, and all those different areas of our lives, Father, where we're touching other people's lives. Father, I pray today, Lord, open our ears that we might hear you. And Lord, I pray today that you will literally pour out, Lord, from heaven, your Spirit, Lord. Pour out from your Spirit, Lord, upon us a fresh anointing, Lord, in this season. As we are crossing over, Lord, Father, I pray that we will hear you speaking to us and that we will receive, in our own times of meeting with you, we'll receive power and your presence, Lord, like never before. That we'll forget the former things, Lord. You have said new things I declare to you. You haven't passed this way before. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us, Lord, into new things of your Spirit, Lord, at this time as a church. And as a church together, Father. And we pray, Lord, that we will receive that release of your power, of your presence, that will enable us to do your will, Lord, in this time, Lord. This is a crossover time, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just give the Lord thanks. Give him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.